Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
What is happening, Orange County? I don't know what's happening with you, but I could use a couple of me. A couple of me. What happened to Thanksgiving? And by the way, happy Thanksgiving both to Paul and to John Date, who's in the studio with me today.
Back at you, Rad.
Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
Had a great Thanksgiving.
I did. You know, what's great about mine? I didn't have to cook. My daughter.
Wait, hold on. Like on normal condition, normal situations, you actually cook?
Oh, I don't ever cook.
Oh my God!
I mean,
Mr. Paul Roberts, ladies and gentlemen, a man of many talents, sitting in the corner. Where's the food, by the way? No, I mean leftovers. I do leftovers, right? Oh, he's giving himself applause. That's classic.
I normally have everybody to my house because that's what you do when you're a dad. And I had used to have my aunt and my parents and my daughter and family and friends. This is the first year she and her husband bought a condo and my little grandson, and they did the whole thing. They bought the food, they laid it out, they cleaned it up. I just showed up, ate, and left. I've never done that in 20 years.
And they bought the condo for your little grandson, so he just lets them live there.
He lets them exactly.
Right. But I'm bummed.
Exactly.
Okay. So, well, I'm glad you guys both had a good Thanksgiving. It was nice, and you know, I was started. It's like it seemed like it was a long time ago already, and it was only like a few days.
I know.
I actually got to like catch up on sleep, and
it was so
not
long
cook,
ago.
Actually,
I have finished all the leftovers, so that's how long ago it was.
Oh, okay,
yeah, you're just a growing boy, aren't you? In more ways than one. But anyway, so why I'm saying that, I could use a bunch of me.
I have no idea.
Because before the show started, we were talking about how, you know, well, is your networking net working? A book by John Dade.
Is that what we're talking about?
Is your networking net working?
Absolutely.
Because everybody says they're networking. Everybody goes to all these networking meetings. In fact, this time of year, you could probably triple and quadruple book yourself in one day. Really easy, right? Between Christmas parties and all that stuff, right?
The invites are starting to come in.
Exactly. So it really is very easy. So I'm going to get into the background for John. John and I have known each other for a number of years. We watch each other from the other side
everybody.
Of the proverbial
room. He's the networking. He knows everybody.
Right?
He's connected.
No. This is the master networker right here, sitting across the table from me.
Thank you.
Okay, and he figured out a way to do it like that was very smooth. I would say, like it's not a drag at all. It's actually really a smooth.
You know, and I tested him before because we have hundreds of people that come through here every month with all the shows we do at
and
Talk Radio. I threw out as many weird names.
You were trying to name drop with John Dade. What is wrong with you?
He knew them all. He
of
was like,
he does.
I know this guy.
He probably told you something about people you thought you knew that you didn't know.
He did. And then a couple of them I was reaching. I said, well, this guy, he's so-and-so. Oh, you mean that guy.
You mean that guy. Yeah.
Here's the funny thing. Okay, here's the funny thing about Orange County. Orange County, and John's reach is beyond Orange County, but, you know, we all aspire to be John. John, Orange County is a very small place, right?
Yes, it is. It news travels fast.
It's a teeny tiny county, really.
In
many ways.
Of 3 million people.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, but you know, it's really funny because the circles overlap.
They do.
And things get heard and things get passed on. And it's important that when we have so little time during the course of our day, and we all are social animals at the end of the day, and if you're an entrepreneur or if you're a business person, there's a certain amount of networking that's just instinctively you're doing all the time.
Yes.
I mean, you don't even turn it off. It's like 24/7.
You're networking 24/7. At least you should be.
Right. Yes. And some people are natural about it. Some people, it's more of a thing they get to learn as a skill.
Right.
Depends really, I think, in part about your own background and how you were raised and the environment you were in. You know, if you are one of many children, I think it has an impact. If you went to a school that had a lot of diversity, you know, it's almost like training ground.
It is.
Right?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to. I mean, your background and you know, I wasn't always a networker.
Yeah.
I was more of an introvert. So it was a learned skill.
And my father is an engineer. I remember reading a book one time about the the art of the of small talk or something like that, that this lady engineer had put together, and it was actually a very, very interesting thing to read, because I don't know that I'm an introvert per se. I like my quiet time, but I would say I'm more of an extrovert than an introvert. But my father is very much a classic engineer, and I was listening to this lady who I think worked for an aircraft manufacturing company. And she needed to learn how to small talk, because she would go to these conferences and then all the engineers would just be sitting around sitting against the wall, yes. Basically. There's nobody in the middle.
It's like a high school.
It was like a high school dance where nobody wants to go talk to the girl or the guy,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, it was kind of interesting when I was listening to that. I think that was the first time that I realized that it wasn't something that was a given for everybody.
Right.
And yet the way society is and the way that the industry is, regardless which one it is, at some point or the other in your course or your career path, you find yourself in a situation where you have to actually reach out to network, whether it is for suppliers only, or it is across the myriad of services that are provided, whether you're an outside salesperson or you're a person that has to, you know, deliver on production. There's always a certain degree of socializing, certain degree of you are as good as your resources.
Absolutely.
Kind of thing,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And the thing is, a lot of people are uncomfortable with that. Initially, I was uncomfortable with that. So I decided to come up with a way, instead of having to force myself to constantly reach out to new people, new areas, and force myself to do the networking, I sat back and went, okay, why don't I just bring the networking to me?
Right.
Why don't I become the center of influence and bring that network to me? And it's just a numbers game. Instead of me trying to reach out to 1,000 people over the course of a week or a month, I can bring 1,000
people them
to
you.
Yes.
Instead of going to them, it's what we refer to, you would refer to almost as like not working hard but working smart.
Exactly.
Right?
Working smarter, becoming your own center of influence.
That's kind of what Rad does with this show. He brings people into the studio and he brings an audience to him every week,
absolutely.
Or through his social media marketing.
I'm very happy for the invite after sharing a cigar with this gentleman yesterday.
That's how I originally met John. Actually, I had no friggin' clue until about a year
offered
or so ago
cigar.
What the heck John does, other than he has these great events that are basically cigar mixers.
Yeah.
And we were talking yesterday. I ran into John yesterday at Center Club, and we were talking about how I actually thought his events and the way he structured them, because this is the other thing that happens with networking events. You'll go to something like a La Tip or a what is that other one called?
BNI.
Thank you, John. Yeah, and there's a format.
Yes.
And there's a reason for the format. I'm not knocking the format, especially for people that are needing to learn the skills. Okay,
absolutely.
That and it is a craft. It is really a craft to do it successfully. You have the elevator pitch, and you stand up and have this 30 seconds to do something and so forth. And so by the end of the meeting, you basically just went through a lot of work.
Yes.
And I told John, I said, it's interesting that in his events, he doesn't have that much of a program per se, that he just lets people organically basically connect.
Exactly. The thing is, and again, that's why I put together networking. And I mentioned in the book, when I go to those, number one, it's more work than what I do for a living.
Yeah.
Okay, and I have to pay for the privilege,
right.
Which wasn't, very good. So I wanted to bring people together, because one of the biggest problems is trying to break ice. You walk into a room, a networking event, you don't know anybody, it's your first time. And trying to break into that can be very intimidating, even for the most social person.
Mm-hmm.
And after you get ignored a couple times, it's like, okay, I'm just going to go sit in the corner and have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
So why not?
And then I'll have another one.
And another one.
And then now I'm even more depressed.
And then everybody comes to you because you're out on the floor and you got the EMTs and everybody there.
Okay. Yeah, but that's not the impression you want to leave behind.
No. So, I decided to put together a format where
people would remember you if you did that, if you passed out drunk.
They would remember you.
Paul, we don't need to hear any more of your stories.
There was a time. No.
Paul Roberts, Paul on Roberts. The floor. No, not that way. Okay.
Well, that's a vision. Is it?
I can't get that out of my head either.
Spread eagle.
Why do I do that to myself?
Exactly.
Thank you. You had to just take it to the next level.
Spread
Did you really just say spread eagle?
Oh, my God.
That's his Native American Indian name,
that's
people. Okay.
Are you part Indian? We won't go there either.
He's Irish Cherokee.
Should I talk about the time I was under the glass coffee table knocking to be let in?
Oh.
No, that's another one.
Yeah, so John, make sure that you expunge your list from Bull Roberts.
Yes, I just the business card. What business card?
Okay. Yeah, make sure you get that idea.
That one out.
So, but you know what's interesting about what you were saying too? It's an interesting what you chose to do, because there's a little bit of stigma with smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you actually, it just hit me when you were talking about this, is that there's no breaking ice. Because when I walk into that cigar mixer, okay, I'm already looking at myself as being part of a group of people that if we actually lit up somewhere else, would probably be frowned upon.
Yes.
And we actually get to have our own support group called the Cigar Business Network.
Exactly.
Mixer.
Think of it as a social support group.
It's a social support group.
Yes.
And there's no ice breaking because I'm very comfortable talking to you if I'm very comfortable smoking a cigar around
yes.
you.
Yes.
It's actually pretty funny.
Absolutely. You walk in and again, contrast it to the other scenario, by the time you get 10 feet into the room, you're getting high fives, you're getting hugs, you're getting pats on the back, you're getting the hey,
it's
what
very
you
true,
doing?
Especially if you're a regular. I've
you're
seen
a brother.
That. Yeah,
you're a brother.
Okay.
Or
sister.
There's absolutely no ice breaking.
So tell us about
We have ladies that come to these things. It's not just
absolutely.
A men's club.
You're going around it here. Let's get it out on the table here. Let's lay it out for everybody. What's
you
the
and
name
furniture
of the
on this show? No.
What's the name of the group? How did you start it? How many people
let's
come?
Let's give them how they can find out more about it.
The name of the group is called Cigar Night Business Mixer Group. Basically, it was founded 9 years ago out of the need to meet more of the type of people I needed to meet in my industry. Which are high-net-worth individuals. My specialty is alternative investment strategies in the commodities market. And, you know, we needed to meet more of those. And I wasn't doing it at the regular networking events. They just weren't there.
Well, you tried that, right?
I tried that.
How long did you try before you realized it wasn't a fit for you?
About 2 years. Okay, yeah. You're locked into the people that are there. And if they're not the right people, oh, well. And you're paying for the privilege. So...
I do want to share something with everybody here because I think a lot of people that are on LinkedIn today don't know this.
Uh-oh.
Okay. No. It's a good one. A few years back, okay, I don't know if people in Orange County realize this, but you know how when you go to LinkedIn and you set up a profile, people, and you basically select Orange County as your place of basically being recognized as being from? Mm-hmm. A few years ago, that wasn't an option. Until a gentleman by the name of Sven Johnston.
Yes.
Okay. Basically got a little livid. And if you see Sven, you don't want him livid because he's a big guy. Okay. But he got a little livid at LinkedIn. And LinkedIn had just kind of started, sort of, right?
Mm-hmm.
It must have been about 8 years ago, maybe at this point, right? And he basically said, well, we're setting up a group saying,
we are Orange County.
We are Orange County.
Yes.
And we're going to petition LinkedIn to add Orange County as an option for basically for you to select
as,
you
a, location
as a location
instead of Pittsburgh
instead of like
or
greater Los Angeles or greater San Diego. Yeah. And I'm like, seriously, San Diego gets a greater San Diego and Orange County doesn't get its own designation?
Exactly.
And we get no respect in OC.
No.
So Sven Johnston set up this group. We even made it to the front cover of the Business Journal, I remember, with my 8.5x11 logo, a piece of paper, okay? And John was one of the very first people that was actually on that group.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't realize that it's, you know, the effort of people like this that see a different need to do something else, an alternative way to basically take things, to zig when others are zagging or zag when others are zigging, and basically come up with something. That's why things like that happen. It's very small. But you think
but
about
very
think,
significant.
Yeah, very, very significant difference.
That brought back some memories.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing, the reason why I asked you about who like your target prospects are and what you weren't getting and so that you would reach out, because I want to also refer back to this book back and forth here while we're talking. This is a great little book. You know, when he handed it to me, I'm like, oh, yeah, here's another guy with a small book. And no, there's no reflection.
At least he said small book.
The size of the book is no reflection on the magnitude and
my hands
and grandiose.
I got a
this
big
gentleman.
Book.
Yeah, there's
Look
no.
At my hands.
I
got
big,
a big
hands.
I don't know book. About you guys, but I only write big books. Big hands.
I
big
am
feet,
not letting you
books.
Go political today.
No.
Okay, but in the very cool thing about this is right off the bat. I mean, right off the bat. Okay, John goes into chapter one. And says, unless you change who you are, you will always have what you got. So there's no sugar coating this thing from day one.
That's
you know, like
blunt.
from page one, boom, he hits you with that. And this is in the preface. And then when I'm stuck is the title of chapter one, right? And this is a quote from Warren Buffett: in a chronically leaking boat, energy devoted to changing vessels is more productive than energy devoted to
fixing the hole,
patching leaks. Okay,
yeah.
So it's really cool. He says that, you know, questions. And you need to know these things. I mean, if you're not fishing with the right bait, then you're not catching anything, right?
You know what you should do to stand out on that chapter alone?
Make a bigger book?
No. He should take that. When you go to the chapter,
I think I need a bigger book.
Well, you need some. Not everybody can have a big book.
Well, no, I was thinking.
You're a big book.
I was thinking,
guy.
This is age discriminating. I have to put on my glasses now.
No, you know what he should do? I just thought, here's a clever promotion.
Pop out.
That couple pages there should be stuck together. So when you come to the thing that says I'm stuck, it literally is a couple of pages stuck together, and you're frustrated because you think there's something in there. Of course, there is, and you're trying to rip
it
open.
That's like painting the complaint box on the wall and having try to have people put the complaint.
Yeah, exactly. Goes into the shredder.
It goes into the shredder.
Everybody would get a.
Oh, you're high tech. No, mine is just painted on a brick wall. Okay.
Yeah, my publisher would love that.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Spend more money for me.
Just glue a couple pages together there.
All right. Okay. Okay. Simmer down.
Take over, Rat.
Okay. Who was?
I got a million of these.
Who was our target prospect? What do they do? What are their hobbies? Which I thought was an interesting way to take it. Where do they spend their downtime? Not their busy time, but their downtime. Yeah. I thought those were really those last two, especially were interesting. And then the answers that that John puts in the book is age 35 to 65, $500,000 to $5 million net worth, professionals, executive, business owners. And where do they? What are their hobbies? Cars, boats, golf, fine dining, spirits, cigars. And then where do they spend their own downtime? Private clubs, golf resorts, and traveling. Then he goes and says, since I don't play golf, that was out. So I decided to meet them at the 19th hole. Yeah. That discussion and list led to formation of a unique and smoking type of business. Smoking type of business networking format. The Cigar Night Business Mixer Group was born. John, two things.
Yes.
How do they find out about the cigar mixer, and where do they get the book? Because you can't judge things by their size. Ladies and gentlemen,
when you look at Mao Zedong, the most influential communist leader of the largest
this
country
is Orange
in the world,
County, dude. Keep your red out of the air.
It was a little red book he wrote. It wasn't a big red book. It was a little red
book.
Exactly.
Paul, unless you change how you are, you will always have what you got.
I'm an old hippie, so I know communist propaganda here. Right?
Okay.
Just move right along. Okay? The aha moment was not that one. Okay. The aha moment is, I'm serious. Okay, I do a lot of reading. This is really kind of handy. It's fun. It was lighthearted, but it had a lot of good nuggets in it, and I hadn't gone past.
You know why it's handy? Because it fits in your hand. That makes it handy.
Handy. Okay.
All right. Paul
even
Roberts,
small,
no more turkey
hand.
For you.
Even small hand.
You are the turkey in the room. Okay. So John, okay, so here you are.
If you don't know who the idiot in the room is, it's probably you.
Gobble, gobble, Paul.
We're all in good company.
Right, we are. He's just feisty after all that food. Okay. You need to go on a less of a red meat diet, I think. And no potatoes for you, Irishman. Okay.
That's right.
So, all right. So you found a way that wasn't working.
We've all found a way that isn't working.
I
found lots of ways that aren't working.
This is not the therapy session. Okay, for Paul Roberts.
But I've never heard anybody say that.
Okay, he found a way that wasn't working because he was open to trying different things, which is a big part of what you get to do. You know, there was something about the guy who owns Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
That guy.
Okay.
Bezos
was asked, what is the number one characteristics that you actually look for in people when you hire them?
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that he would talk about a guy who basically zigs when other people zag.
Yeah.
Okay. He said that it wasn't about how many successes they've had. He actually looks for people who have had a lot of failures.
And how they dealt with it.
And still kept going.
Yeah.
And that, to him, is a measure of somebody that he wants to bring into the company.
Absolutely. I agree. It's if you learn from your failures, you'll always move on. You know, the only failure is somebody that doesn't move
on. Well, and it's funny because the world all knows this, I think, on a very, like, I don't want to share it with anybody level.
Mm-hmm.
And they all act like, you know, everything is pristine and every I is dotted and every T is crossed and that, you know, no eggs were broken in the making of an omelet when, in fact, they know fully well that they, in their own personal experience, that's not the case.
Absolutely.
And yet we don't encourage people to actually make mistakes.
No, we don't. We chastise them for making those mistakes, and then we belittle them.
And then we cover them up.
Yeah. We put them under a coffee table.
Right.
And they knock on the door to get in.
Next time you see Paul Roberts under a coffee table, just put a tablecloth on him and move on. Okay. All right. So, John, I want to delve a little bit back into your background, mm-hmm. because the interesting thing about you is you are, I don't know that I would term you contrarian, but you are definitely a alternative thought mm-hmm. person.
He's in the alternatives industry.
Right.
The investment
industry. But this is something we do on the show. It's like, how did you get there, right? Because you were sharing with me mm-hmm. that you think, or you believe, that the reason why you are doing what you're doing professionally, mm-hmm. and the reason why when the networking or the traditional networking venues didn't work for you, you went down this path.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. That you state that has to do with your way you grew up, that your background.
Well, yeah. I mean, I grew up,
And if you're comfortable sharing it, I think it's important for people to understand that we are sitting here talking about cigars at Center Club, but there was a path.
Well, there was a path to get here. I mean, I wasn't that good in school. I grew up in a very poor family. Never completed the same grade school up, through grade six. But so I was forced to do alternative. I was working when other people were going on vacation. Didn't go to college. Had to get a job out of school. And we're always looking to find ways to make myself better with the skill set that I had.
What did you do out of school?
Well, actually, I went into the restaurant business for about. Ended up being 18 years.
Wow.
Became very successful at that. That's where I developed my people skills. I recommend it for anybody to spend at least a year in the service industry.
Yeah,
to
absolutely.
Get to know
Did
people,
you work for chains
people.
Or for your own place?
I worked
or?
For a chain way back when called Sambo's Restaurants.
When
BK in 79, I jumped to a chain called Numero Uno Pizza.
Yes.
Ended up owning two franchises. But that, shaped my way. But then what happened was I went on a vacation, my first in like 6 years,
uh-huh.
and I found out that all these people that I was going on vacation with, bankers, financial services, and whatever,
uh-huh.
Were working half the hours, making twice the money.
Right.
Okay, and I'm going, I'm doing the wrong thing.
Right, especially in the food and beverage industry.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 24. So I ended up looking at the financial services, but the competition is so many. I mean, everybody's an insurance agent. Everybody's a financial advisor. Everybody's this and that. I wanted something to have a niche.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into the alternatives. Okay, trading precious metals was a niche mm-hmm. back in the 60s, 70s. Then I had my own firm for a while called Forex Global Trading, traded the Forex currency market. Nobody out there did that. When that, I disbanded that
for
5 years.
And defined what the Forex is.
Forex, trading foreign currency, the dollar right. against the yen, the euro
yep.
against the pound. And in 2008, when everything hit the fan, my company was too small to merge with a bigger company. I disbanded it. Moved over to a company called High Ridge Futures.
Mm-hmm.
In the alternative side, got my license to trade commodities market.
Mm-hmm.
Oil, gas, gold, precious mm-hmm. metal, these types of things.
Soybeans, pork bellies.
Soybeans, pork bellies, hog butts.
Right.
No comment. Okay.
No, you could almost argue, though, that's the old school. I mean, this is the serious, trenches, old school side of the market.
It is. It has actually been around longer, than the equities market.
Absolutely.
And what have you. It's a very liquid market.
It's
a global
is.
Market.
Yeah.
And I love it because basically it's a net at the end of the day. You either made money, lost money. There is uh-huh. no net asset value. All these other terms.
Right.
It is what it is.
Uh-huh.
Now, futures, yeah. There's a lot of risk in futures uh-huh. if you do it yourself.
Uh-huh.
And when people tell me, oh, it's risky, I said, well, risky is getting in a NASCAR and driving on a 5 freeway at 300 miles an hour and you've
yeah.
never done it before.
Yeah.
We had somebody on from the, I think it's the Options Council or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the Options Council.
And they were on one of our shows. We have a show that talks about alternative mm-hmm. investments. And
exactly.
they said, yes, there's a risk in any of these things.
Yes.
But the risk in today's world where things go up and down, fluctuate so wildly here, we're in such a choppy market.
Yes.
The option is a way to de-risk, to deleverage,
exactly.
to take away some of that risk.
It's called diversifier.
Yeah,
it's
you're
called,
hedging.
It's called not correlated to traditional markets.
Exactly.
And it's been shown for 50 years.
Yeah.
And I never thought about it because you do think of options as a risky strategy.
Yes.
You can win or lose a lot of money. You're betting on some future.
But in a professional's hands, okay, and
right.
the strategy,
exactly.
It can be very effective.
The risk is to buy and hold and to watch it crash like it did in 2008, then take 10 years to come back up.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a whole different story, and I can't get into that
because
I'm licensed. And I have to give you a disclosure
right.
that you can lose money in any investment strategy, and
yes.
thank you very much,
right.
Brad. Take it away.
Well, but I was just going to say that, it's like everything else. It's what kind of appetite do you have? And
right.
where you're at, what other variables are happening in your life that will basically, figure out the comfortable risk,
the risk profile.
Exactly, and it's not for your entire portfolio. It's a diversifier for part of it with a proven.
But again, the only
record.
Point I was making is that the risk today isn't the risk is just doing nothing because the market is so unpredictable.
But you know what's funny? You know
to not try and hedge against downturns.
You know what's funny about this particular part of the conversation is where I was about to say, and this actually proves it. You guys are coming at this thing from a slightly different point of view because of your own comfort. And what I was going to ask John is you shifted from one thing to the other.
Mm-hmm.
You took on not a less risky per se or less risk. You took on equal or more risk.
Yes.
You went into a field that was new.
Yes.
And this is a question that I ask a lot of people that don't have a traditional or conventional path.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you believe that because you took that first step into an alternative reality, because you work when others are having vacation, because you said yes to this versus that, which was the more common answer, that you basically strengthened or worked out a muscle that then later on, as you took on more risk, it didn't seem as challenging, it didn't seem as daunting, that when you let go of that edge of the pool the first time, the second time, it wasn't letting go of the edge of the pool, it was something you were familiar with.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And basically...
This is not something that you wake up one day and say, okay, I'm just going to go contrarian
not.
On everything. You actually have to build up that strength and muscle.
Absolutely not. You have to exercise that. You have to exercise the risk. You have to get over the fear. You know, fear of failure. And move forward.
Which is huge.
Yeah, and move forward and realize that, hey, the world didn't end just because I failed.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I get up the next morning, the sun's up, I get to try again.
Right.
So.
Right, yeah. No, I'll tell you, it's a very fascinating topic for me because I look around and a lot of times we, for good reason, because it has a high success rate, I wouldn't say a higher success rate, but we put people through traditional molds and traditional paths to get from point A to point B, maybe.
Right,
right, and then and then who we elevate to a level of almost honest are the people that don't basically follow that path.
Exactly,
the people that do it in their own way.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I can't give you the exact quote, but I did put it in the book, and basically it says that there's the people that conform to the world and try to make it better, and to paraphrase it, and people that don't conform to the world and try to make it better. And I'll take the people that don't conform to the world and make it better every time.
And why do you do that?
Because they make the changes. Hmm. They make the changes. Apple made the changes.
Mm-hmm.
Edison made the changes. Mm-hmm. Ford made the changes.
Tesla.
Okay?
Yeah.
Tesla made the changes.
Uh-huh.
Okay? They didn't conform to the normal world. They said,
OC
no,
Talk Radio made the change here.
We're
just
trying
to throw that in there. Just trying to
move on.
Move on. Right.
So how do I know if my networking net is working?
Well, basically...
I'm spending a lot of time networking. How do I know? What should I use as a benchmark for evaluating whether I'm effective in it or not?
That is a powerful question because so many people come in and wonder why I'm networking, why I'm doing social media,
like everything
which is
else, after a while, you're going to burn out.
Exactly. Right. Well, you burn out if it's work.
Yeah.
See, if it's fun, I've been doing this 9 years.
Yeah.
I'm not close to burning out because it's so much fun. I look forward to it every
month.
And
you have a chapter in L.A. and you have a chapter in San Diego, don't you?
That's correct.
Oh.
Yeah, that's correct. And basically... You'll know the results. It's benefited me and my business, you know, financially, socially, personally, greatly, you know, since I started it. But you'll know the results. Number one, you walk into a room. You were at the Center Club with me yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, I was having lunch with my CPA.
Yeah.
Sandeep. Hey, Sandeep.
Yeah, hi, Sandeep.
There you go.
Good to meet
and
you yesterday. Yeah.
We were there for a couple hours having a cigar.
Uh-huh.
And he remarked at the end of it, it's like, we had 12 people come by here, and all of them stopped and said, hi, how you doing? When's the next event?
Yeah.
So you know it's working, okay? People call you. There's not a week goes by I don't get a phone call or an email saying, I just met somebody. I told them about your group. I'm inviting them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it's not necessarily who they know or who you know, but who they might know.
Mm-hmm.
They might not become a potential client, but somebody they know. Hey, I know this guy. I have a relationship with him. I've known him for years. We've shared scotch and cigars. I trust him. He's got a good product. Talk to him. It will start coming back to you. That's when you know, okay? And... the key is follow up.
And a classic case. I mean, John just had an event at Red O Restaurant in Newport Beach. Was it a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah,
maybe last week.
14th.
14th.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the blue, I mean, I was talking to some people that I knew there, and I'm meeting some other people, and exactly what John is describing. And then he walks over with an architect, and he says, "Yeah, I introduced this gentleman over here. You know, he's an architect." And so the reason why I asked you the question the way I asked it, John, is I had sort of an ulterior motive. Is mm-hmm. many people sometimes in today's society are measuring return on investment of time in a manner that is both very short time span
and transactional,
exactly. and very transactional.
Exactly,
right? It's not relationship; it's transactional. Yeah. And that, if you go down that path, you're going to find yourself in that situation where you're burned out
exactly.
and you're not getting what you want out of
exactly.
it.
Exactly,
and not like you're saying, where you're doing it for 9 years and you're not even close.
I
to being
love
burned
it.
Out.
It's like yeah. it's like a new party every month. And there's an old phrase from a decade ago. It's called paying it forward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
pay it forward.
My job is to connect.
Yep,
to connect. And if I, my biggest rush, like I said in the book, is when somebody calls me up and says, hey, John, you introduced me to so-and-so. Mm-hmm. We're meeting next week. We're going to do business.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rush.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not I ever do business with them.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's working.
Mm-hmm.
The networking is working.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for me, but for the members, which mm-hmm. is important.
You know, can I give you one of the common complaints I hear about networking events? Because I stopped going to them years ago because they tend to be this. Hi, here's what I do. I hand you my card, and while you're, and then I'm looking over your shoulder to see the next four or five prospects. I'm there trying to just spray and pray. I'm trying to meet as many
exactly.
people as I can and hope somebody, I really don't care what you do. I really don't care to know anything about you. I just want to get in front of you, pitch my product, and move on.
Exactly. And it's work.
And the other thing that I find equally unappealing is, nobody's honest or open or real.
Exactly.
How's your business? Great. How's your business? Oh, great. Well, what are we all doing? I'm the only idiot in the room that's struggling here. What can I learn from this? So, and I think
well,
that if
everybody's
people
got
would,
a beautiful selfie, right? Everybody
yeah.
lives in an 8x10 glossy
exactly.
on social media,
exactly.
right?
My Bentley's parked right next to yours. Absolutely.
So I think somehow if you're going to do networking.
Yeah, but next time don't get the same color, John. Okay, please.
I think you got to approach it with three things. One is, as you say, you can't. Ask, you give before you get.
Yes.
The second is you've got to really be genuinely interested and open and honest about who you are and what you're looking for, and interested and ask them what who they are.
Exactly, and that's what happens here.
Again, can't just be speed in, dating. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not speed dating. You're setting time aside. Matter of fact, very little business gets done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Most of it's about cigars, scotch. Tequila,
you're absolutely,
Irish
you're
whiskey.
You're absolutely right. It's
rum,
very little
lemon,
that happens
whatever.
At that time. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like, Brad, I had a great time talking with you, mm-hmm. you know, et cetera. I know we didn't get a chance to talk much. I'd like to get to know you better.
Yeah.
Can we set up a time?
Absolutely.
And let's find out if we can collaborate.
That's exactly how it works out. You know, I want to share this because I think, you know, when we're talking about transactional and, you know, relationships, and it's not about transactional relationships. There's a quote on chapter 12. I jumped all the way to chapter 12. It basically says there's a very real, and the topic of the chapter is the perks, but it says there's a very real relationship, both quantitatively and qualitatively, between what you contribute and what you get out of this world.
Yeah.
And I will add to that, and in what true authenticity you do it. Because there's a lot of people that, again, are looking at this and going, oh, so it's a cause and effect. It's what I contribute and what I get, right? But if you're paying it forward, if you're not doing it with expectations,
mm-hmm.
it's a different way of basically doing this. So
exactly.
So not only is it about what you contribute and what you get out of the world, it's also about the fact in what spirit that you do it in.
Exactly. And that's the spirit I come from. It's about getting together, building relationships, and enjoying a passion that we all share, whether it's cigars, Irish whiskey, you know, tequila, bourbon, scotch, firearms. We have a division called Cigars and Guns that we get together quarterly as a client appreciation day, and we all go up to Azusa, Burrow Canyon,
mm-hmm.
and spend the Saturday morning.
You know, he's never invited me to one of these.
No, wow.
Ooh. I think maybe I don't know why.
December,
can't trust me with a weapon. I'm too lethal without a weapon.
You just gave him too much room on that one.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Paul.
Paul's ready to lock and load over there.
My brain is racing. So many things I can say.
But
I'm just going to let that one
just
slide.
Sit back. But I will also say to the point of what we're talking about, the spirit in which you do things. Okay, how long did it take you to write this book?
That was a labor of love for about a year.
Yeah, it was either you were going to do it or you were going to basically be cut off by somebody, right?
Yes, exactly.
your wife.
My wife was very encouraging, and she basically said, do it. And you know, a very good friend of mine, Dave Rolander, was a great coach. He's written a couple books, The CEO Code.
Dave's been in here. That was another one I was going to stump you with.
Very,
okay.
Very, very great gentleman.
And give a shout out to Lydia.
Shout out to my wife, Lydia, who said, just sit down and do it.
Yeah.
And what have you. So
yes, dear.
Yes, dear. Two greatest marriage savers.
Yeah, learned that. But the thing why I say it's important.
Yes, spirit, dear, and what do you
what
think?
Spirit, what spirit you do it in is this book, actually, the small book with a big heart. Okay, percentage of the proceeds.
The little yellow book.
Percentage of the proceeds goes to Habitat for Humanity.
Yes. Okay,
so it's in here. And you can get it, I put this on social media, you can get it from Morgan James Publishing, MorganJamesBuilds.com is the page. You also can get it through John.
It's going to be released on Amazon January 1. It's already in ebook form. And anybody that calls in or wishes to email the station or myself, we'll send you the link to get a copy through PayPal. Anything sold through the PayPal site before release in January, part of the proceeds go to the Gary Sinise Foundation to help our veterans and first responders.
Awesome. How cool is that? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Gary Sinise, the famous actor.
Yeah.
How do people find out about you?
Okay.
Plug your business. And then also, how do they find out about the next event?
Well, basically, they can call. They can email the station and pass things on.
Let's give them a number,
Paul.
Then
go ahead.
949-330-7760. 949-330-7760. Operators standing by.
Okay.
They can go to our Facebook site, Cigar Night Business Mixer Group, Orange County or L.A. or San Diego, or the Cigars and Guns Facebook site. And
you may need a permit to get into that one. But
yeah, well. and check your ammo at the door.
And check your ammo at the door. But, John, I really appreciate you finding the time to do this. I know it was short notice asking you to do it, but when you handed me this thing, I was like, I'll tell you what my first thought was after I started reading past, like, page 2 was, how can I actually put this in as a gift for people this Christmas?
Now we're talking.
So that's the other thing, too, is this, you know, get a copy of this, take a look at it. I am actually genuinely considering, and he doesn't know, I didn't tell him before the show, but I'm actually genuinely considering
get a couple hundred thousand copies.
Bunch of copies of these things and handing them out, because it really is an interesting, and you know what you could do? I'll let you do, you know, piggyback on this idea, okay? Print an invitation to the next cigar night.
Yes.
In L.A., San Diego, or Orange County.
There.
And put it in there and give it to somebody.
Yes.
And have them be your guests at that event. Because
how cool
the quality
is that?
Of the people that are there are just like this gentleman here who basically, you know, it really is by example. And I have had nothing but good experiences going to them. I don't make it every month. In fact, that was kind of a joke. You finally made one. Right?
But, glad to see you.
Glad to see you. But I really would encourage you guys to check out John Dade's page on Facebook. Look at the Cigar Networking Mixer for Los Angeles, Orange County, San Diego. The book's called Is Your Networking Net Working? And you can always reach me at rod@gantous@gmail.com. If you have any questions for John or for the show, or you want to find out about where you can get the book, more than happy to connect everybody together. We're very social animals, and where we spend our very precious time that we have free is important. And so I encourage you to check out the cigar mixers, because I've had nothing but good outcomes from those.
Well, thank you, Rod. I appreciate it, buddy.
John,
always a pleasure to have you.
Always
thank
a
you.
Pleasure to have you, too. Thank you, sir, for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.